St. Andrews family, you haven't heard from us in a while. We're back in action. Yeah, a little bit. Lots going on.
Yeah.
So we're back in our beautiful studio in Burbank, California.
Isn't it beautiful, man? It is so gorgeous here right now.
Yeah.
Palm tree swaying.
Oh, unbelievable.
The sound of the ocean.
Unbelievable. I do wonder sometimes if it's good stewardship for us to fly out here every week just to record this. But when you're here, you got to say it's worth it. You know, it's absolutely gorgeous.
I love it.
It's been busy. We haven't sent much out because we've been busy and, you know, taking some time off and all that, which has been good and refreshing. But let's kind of go back through and maybe start with Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And, you know, is your probably first time preaching a Christmas Eve service. And in addition to your first time being to a Christmas with us here at St. Andrews. So what was that like, man?
Oh, I mean, like you said, first time doing lots of things and just getting, every church has their Christmas traditions. Every church has their Christmas feel, but for the most part, like Christmas is just an awesome time to be at church.
Yeah, just in general, right? Absolutely.
In general. And so, it was really cool walking into the sanctuary a couple weeks before and just seeing the decorations go up and things start to change. And it just had a great couple of services, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Lots of people there singing really hard. And the music is incredible. And Jordan's putting all that time in with his various groups. So just lots of good things happening. And then the privilege to actually preach on Christmas Eve. We've talked about this before, but you know going into it that a lot of people on Christmas Eve service are people who maybe don't go to church as much. Or just like families in town. So like there was a lot of people that I didn't know. But it presents an opportunity to just preach simply, try to preach plainly, try to preach the gospel just for all to hear.
You did that beautifully. I think I told you during after the service, you know, man, it was just hit all the right tones, and it was easy to listen to. Someone who that wasn't that familiar with church would have understood it. People who have been in church forever understood it and resonated with your Christmas Eve sermon. And then it was funny. It was poignant. It was all kinds of great things. So great job on that.
Appreciate that.
And then I do love the fact that while a lot of churches have kind of gone away from the Christmas Day service, St. Andrews has always kind of really steered into that. Like that's been a very important deal for St. Andrews. And you know, it's kind of like some diehards showing up, you know, and so the singing is usually outstanding. And man, I had a great time at that service too. And then just the one service the following weekend, that was a nice service as well. It's kind of fun. It's a little different. It's kind of fun. But we're back in action this last week. We got back in action, and it was not the Epiphany, but we were celebrating the Epiphany with some of the hymns and stuff, which are some great songs.
Right.
Typically during Epiphany, we go to the wise men visiting. It's an important message, but it's also about light and God revealing himself. And you had a different passage that you used, but it was still the same thing, God revealing himself, you know?
Right. And I actually used the text assigned for that Sunday. Like you said, Epiphany always falls on January 6th, and we were just a few days ahead, so the lectionary assigned some texts for the Sunday that weren't, like you said, usually considered Epiphany, but I think that it fit well with the theme of God making himself known.
Absolutely. You know?
And
absolutely.
That's what Epiphany is about. And just playing with that phrase, finding Jesus, I thought it was an opportunity to take something that we hear a lot. And I tried not to discount or discredit anybody who has used that phrase, but just to shed some light on, yes, we see God at work in every fabric of creation.
Yeah.
We see his fingerprint. We see his majesty, you know, all over creation, all throughout our lives. But where do we have our certainty? Where are we really confident and sure? Where can we be absolutely certain?
Right.
We will find the living God.
Man.
And not just, you know, a result of his work, a result of his beauty, but actually himself.
Yeah.
And we encounter him where he promises to be doing his father's business. I like
that. Doing that the father's business. That is, yeah, that is such a good translation. And just so people remember, you know, it's a passage where Jesus is at the temple. He's 12. He's at the temple. And I love your reference to Home Alone and the sermon because it's got that moment like, hey, where's Jesus? I thought you had him. I thought you had him. And they go back in. And then I think of mom and dad searching for 3 days for their kid. That's a long time. It's a long time. And they found him, but in essence, when we talk about what does it mean to find Jesus, it doesn't mean that it's our effort. It's more like he finds us, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. If you had to preach on that passage again, say it was 2 weeks in a row you had to preach on the same passage, what different aspects of that passage would you bring out?
Oh, man. Well, I really leaned into the parents' perspective,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is appropriate. The way the story's written, a lot of it kind of leans into Mary and Joseph's point of view. But I think it would be cool to kind of go into the mind, maybe, of a 12-year-old Jesus. I don't know exactly what that would look like.
Yeah.
But maybe tell it from his perspective.
Yeah.
As a kid, who, you know, you're God and you're celebrating the Passover for the first time in your city.
Yeah.
Like there's so much things that might get confusing, you know, God as a kid, God as a man is confusing enough, but God as a kid is even a little more confusing.
don't you find it interesting? The Bible doesn't tell us much at all. Like we go from him being dedicated to the temple to being carried, literally carried to Egypt, to them saying, come home, nothing about his life or how he acts. Then we get this one instance when he's 12. And there's always a question, what does it mean that Jesus was the perfect Son of God? You know, does it, you know, what was his development like? What was it like? Did they ever, you know, just because he's learning and growing, do they have to redirect him or, you know, kind of obviously have to teach him some things? But I don't know. I know one of the professors said, we just don't know. We don't know what him being perfect, did that mean you want him up at bat at the end of the game because he's going to do a walk-off homer and win the game? Like, I don't know.
What does perfect mean? As a teenager.
It's really, really interesting to kind of wrestle with that. So,
but something in that story that just really stuck out to me after reading a particular commentary was how Jesus is like really impressing everybody.
And
people are like astonished at his insight and stuff. But God doesn't show us like what was impressive about him.
Exactly.
We don't get any of the dialogue between Jesus and the leaders and the, you know, teachers. We get the dialogue of Jesus with his parents.
Interesting.
And so like something really like divine is happening where Jesus as a kid just revealing his wisdom, but we just get a little, we that remains a mystery to us. Mm-hmm. And then what's really revealed to us, we get the details of the family dynamic, which is just cool. So.
Well, there's so much going on there. And I think, you know, there's like a crowd around them. They're all amazed, you know, they're all kind of amazed at his teaching. And, I don't know. I do find it interesting. I mean, it's not the same scale by any means, but it is kind of funny. Like you'll be teaching confirmation or teaching kids in eighth grade or whatever. And we have this deep theological knowledge we've picked up in all the time in the seminary and our love of Lutheran theology and stuff. And then a kid will say something that you've never thought of before.
Right.
And you're like, man, that's pretty impressive insight, you know?
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that.
That's beautiful. So as we start to get ready for this coming weekend, mm-hmm. we get back into some more stories that are more traditionally thought of as Epiphany stories.
Yeah, right.
And so you have a cool passage to text from the baptism of Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, and boy. Yeah.
That can be a challenge, I'm sure, because maybe there's, is there a lot to understand? Like, why was Jesus baptized? Are we going to get into that? Or, what are we going to talk about this week regarding his baptism?
I think what we're going to talk about, I think there's, we'll talk some about why he gets baptized.
Yeah.
And the answer, I mean, the complete answer to that, I know it's to fulfill all righteousness. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a little bit. I'm also going to say, you know, I can't promise to give you a complete answer on that either. I mean, there's some mystery there.
Exactly.
We're going to talk in Matthew. The thing is, it's funny because, you know, the baptism of Jesus, remember, I was a vicar. I'll talk about a story when I was on vicars during the sermon. But when I was a vicar, I remember writing a sermon on the baptism of Jesus. And I thought, is baptism, it's like one of the foundational things of being a Lutheran, the baptism. It's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is going to be awesome. And I wrote like just a terrible, terrible sermon. It was so bad. And I remember like kind of hard, like, it's almost like Christmas Eve or Easter. Like you're almost so familiar with it, it gets hard to preach on.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think I've gotten a little more refined in my process of preaching. So hopefully it's not going to write a terrible sermon this week, but,
we'll pray for that.
Please pray for that. I think most people do.
Please
don't be so bad. But it's interesting, you know, these are very weighty topics. So you can go with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. I think you could preach this particular passage would preach really well on Holy Trinity Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's lots of things about it. I think what's kind of struck me mostly is the fact that baptism, you know, people talk a lot about, well, baptism's just, you know, it's like a rite. They had these mikvahs in the ancient world, these baths where people would wash themselves ritually. And so baptism is, John the Baptist just kind of continuing that tradition on. And I think baptism is so vastly different than the ancient, like the Old Testament tradition of washing yourself. Because one of the big things, we're going to talk about this in quite a bit, is you don't do it to yourself.
Right.
It's something done to you. And I think there's such a powerful message about a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrament is done to you. It's right. Not something you do. You don't, like, you could say, are you going to take communion? But you don't really take communion. You're given communion.
Exactly.
And it goes along with your thing from last week. You don't really find Jesus. He lets himself be found, or he puts himself in places to be found. He finds you is essentially what it boils down to. So it's kind of a continue of that theme that God reveals himself. And I think one of the beautiful ways he reveals himself in the sacrament is that it's not something you do. It's something that's done to you, just like your salvation is not something you do. It's something that's done to you and for you.
Awesome.
So that'll probably be the main theme. Again, a couple of stories I was going to tell. I wrote some stuff down actually with the Bible study. And by the way, we're changing the Bible study. It'll be Tuesday morning at 8:45. And it's not just women of St. Andrews. It's everybody's welcome now. So we're going to be doing that.
Right.
Starting this week coming up Tuesday, 8:45 a.m. Get some school parents in there too. But it's just, I went through that, I was talking with them, a lot of ideas came to my mind. I was writing stuff down as I was kind of talking with the Bible study on Tuesday, and realized my handwriting is pretty bad, and there's a couple things I can't even read. So we'll figure this out, man. we'll figure out a sermon.
That's
we'll
a really just mind-blowing idea.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Life-changing. Yeah, circle the word six times. I can't read the word, so we'll get this figured out. But no, I'm excited. I think it's just, again, I think there's a beautiful message of this absolute grace if we kind of read the fine print in the passage.
So. Yeah, amen, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know the people are. We'll be praying for you the coming
Thanks,
days.
Brother.
Let's wrap up with a word of prayer.
Let's do it.
Lord God, we're grateful for the opportunity that you have placed us in by your grace, despite the ways we fall short as people, as sinners. Lord, you speak through us and you prepare something in us where by our actions, by our words, you reveal yourself. And Lord, do that this week through Pastor Matt. Prepare him well. Do something beautiful through him that we might come to know you a little bit better. We might come to rejoice in your grace and your gospel and the things that you do to us and for us, for our benefit, for our salvation. Bless the people at St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Build us up as a congregation. Unify us in our love for each other and our love for you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, St. Andrews.
So we'll see you, St. Andrews.